Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Welcome to the September 16th joint presentation by the Santa Clarita Valley Chapter and the San Fernando Valley Chapter of the Aerospace and Defense Forum. This morning's topic is Ampere, a trusted and compelling provider of electrified aircraft. I'm Eric Jensen. I'm chairperson of the Aerospace and Defense Forum for Santa Clarita, and I'm president of Jensen Next Level Consulting. Next slide, please. The A&D Forum, Aerospace and Defense Forum, the purpose of the forum is to provide a way for those in the aerospace industry to communicate information and ideas, collaborate on projects, and develop business with each other. There's 9 chapters. In the absence of a global pandemic, we usually meet together monthly. And most recently, a new chapter is the Ventura chapter, and they have already had presentations. There's a monthly newsletter. There's over 230 recordings of presentations and tours of sites. And in the absence of a global pandemic, we also visit organizations. And to continue fulfilling our purpose, we are continuing to have webinars until in-person meetings can be resumed. And there's no timing on that right now. We're still working on that. And more information can be found at the website, aerospacedefenseforum.org. There's over 2,400 professionals in the organization, and it's an 11-year-old plus organization. Next slide, please. Webinar guidelines. During the presentation from here on out, please be on mute when you have entered the webinar. If your mic icon is not crossed out, please do that and click it on to mute. Video camera should be crossed off. If not, please click on your video camera and cross that off. All questions, please send them into the chat throughout the presentation. I will gather those and we will put them out for the presenter to talk about. To ask a question, click on chat in the center of the bottom of your screen. A window will appear where you can type a question. A recording of the webinar is going to be posted on the A&D Forum website for download by A&D Forum members. And I want you to know that all attendees will receive an email when the recording is available. Likewise, all attendees will receive contact information for all the attendees that granted permission to be contacted. And somebody needs to mute. Not sure who it is. Next slide, please. Okay, all sponsors, by the way. I'd like to recognize our sponsors at this time, especially during this challenging period of time. Santa Clarita Chapter is sponsored by the Santa Clarita Economic Development Corporation. They are a tremendous organization in Santa Clarita that's done a tremendous job. San Fernando Valley Chapter has CPA firm Rose, Snyder, and Jacobs, Chubb, Bolton & Company, and Moss Adams as sponsors. And again, we thank those sponsors very much for hanging with us during this period of time. So at this point, I'm going to introduce and give some background on our presenter. And thank you for keeping up with the slides, Ivan. I'm pleased to introduce Doug Shane. Doug's the general manager for Ampere, Inc., a developer of the first generation of hybrid electric aircraft. Doug joined Ampere in 2020, following a stint as president of Curran Aircraft. Previously, he's held several leadership roles at the Spaceship Company, a production arm of Virgin Galactic, where he led the team to successful completion of its first Spaceship II. His assignments included EVP General Manager, President, and Chairman of TSC. Prior to his work with TSC, Doug had a 31-year career at Scale Composites, where he was ultimately president following the retirement of its founder, the aerospace legend, Burt Rutan. Doug served for many years as vice president of business development, increasing Scalid's revenues more than tenfold, and as director of flight operations, where he performed the first flights of 8 new Scalid designs. Doug has a BS degree of aerospace engineering from the University of Kansas. He's the recipient of the Ivan C. Kinchelow and James H. Doolittle Awards from the Society of Experimental Test Pilots, and is a fellow and past president. Obviously, he flies, as you can tell from the picture. And he has been named recipient of the Robert J. Collier Trophy in 2004. So we are very pleased to have Doug presenting to us. And Doug, I'm going to turn it over to you and go on to mute.
Thanks. And should I have my video on? I forget.
Yes, if you want to.
Okay, thanks. I'll do that. So good morning, everybody. And Eric, thanks for the kind introduction. It's weird. I've never done a presentation on Zoom before, so please bear with my my old guy foibles. But I'm really, really thrilled to have the opportunity to speak with you, and thanks to Mike for setting it all up. Yeah, I'm an airplane guy, and I've loved flying my whole life. And so when the opportunity came to join a company that's taking advantage in a sensible way, in my opinion, of the absolutely unique opportunity for new propulsion that exists today. I mean, in my lifetime, there's never been anything like this, or probably in any of our lifetimes, but there really is a new paradigm in propulsion. And I had met the co-founders, Corey Combs and Kevin Nortker, previously, actually, when I was working at Scaled when they were Northrop guys. But when I saw what they were up to, and it's in the title of the talk, right? It's practical and compelling and trusted. So those are the three words that we talk about every week. And I was thrilled to see that this team was trying to take a really pragmatic, logical, and low risk approach to starting to electrify airplanes. So with that, let's go on to the next chart, please, Ivan. So, and to that end, right, we're starting by electrifying existing airplanes. You know, in today's world, developing a new clean sheet airplane is really at least a $1 billion problem, right? It's a huge amount of work, a huge amount of time, a huge amount of money. So, you know, with the idea of electrifying existing airplanes, you take a whole bunch of those risks off the table, right? So then it's more about the electric propulsion architecture development and, you know, the components. And we're taking the approach of, you know, crawl, walk, run in terms of, you know, integrating components and systems from the electric vehicle world into existing airplanes. So if I just kind of look at this this chart a little more, our first platform that we chose is the Cessna 337 Skymaster, which was built, you know, through the 60s and 70s. And it's nice because it's a push-pull configuration with an engine on each end of the fuselage. So for testing an experimental electric powertrain, it's really sort of the ideal configuration, right? You don't have to risk a single engine airplane all electric. You don't have to risk an engine out asymmetry of a conventional twin engine airplane if you have a propulsion system failure. So it's about doing it safely and logically. So a great platform for that. It's a 6-seat airplane nominally, and we've built and flown two of them. Actually, one with the electric motor in the front and one with it in the back. So we've maybe been a little schizophrenic on that, but there were good reasons for doing it at the time. We've taken both of those airplanes through experimental certification with the FAA, which is not a huge process, but we actually in the more recent airplane secured something that was pretty unusual, and that is what's called market survey category under the experimental airworthiness certificate, which allows us to demonstrate the airplane to customers, including having them fly in the airplane, that's a real big threshold to get across with the FAA because, you know, now you're not just risking a test crew, you're putting at risk somebody that may be not as close to the whole situation. So that was a big deal for us to get that. And we did that last fall. And I think that's probably the only airplane of this type, although there aren't many of them anyway, that got that certification. So let's go to the next slide, please. And look, it's back to the crawl, walk, run
lunch
thing.
I'm taking Troy lunch. Yeah. 11:30.
So let's see. So starting with the kind of the bottom airplane there on the chart and going up around counterclockwise are several different configurations and baseline platforms. One is this, down here on the bottom is a Cessna Caravan, which is a single engine utility airplane. The next one to the right is a Twin Otter, which is a 19 seat class airplane. We've got our little 337 there next to that. And then we'll talk more about the top one. It's really just an illustration of where we would like to end up someday. So, it's all about building the pieces of the technology so that we can migrate it to different platforms. And eventually giving us the tools and capabilities to do a clean sheet aircraft design. Because today, I think we all know or suppose that batteries just aren't where they need to be for airplanes. The energy density of even the best batteries is nowhere near the energy density of fuel. So that's why we're taking the approach of doing hybrid stuff. So some combustion power, some battery power. And that's sort of our path to the future of fully electric airplanes when the batteries are good enough to do that. And I would say too, another thing we think about a lot is in the early days, there's not going to be a lot of charging infrastructure on the ground. So the hybrid is a good mitigator to that. It's if you build an all electric airplane today, where would you fly it? Because where's the charging infrastructure? Anyway, let's go to the next chart, please. And of course, you want to do electrification because, fuel's bad and emissions are bad and noise is bad. It all works and it's very practical for moving us around the globe today, but we do need to make that move toward a greener future and a more environmentally friendly way to fly. Let's go to the next chart. So I wouldn't, if any of you asked me to justify any of the numbers on this chart, I couldn't do it. So don't, please. But I will say that it's big. The market is big.
The market is big.
Uh-oh, I'm echoing back somewhere in there. Okay. It is big. And we particularly see a lot of focus on green aviation in Europe. They're really serious about it, and there will be a lot of money there to help develop things. So it's coming, and it will get there. In the U.S., I'm sure soon. And, if you can, the beauty of electric power, right, is that it's, of course, has no emissions, but it's also tends to be pretty low maintenance, mechanical, rotating hardware. It doesn't have the sort of horrible temperatures and thermal cycles that a combustion engine has. So we think there's big savings to be had, both, of course, in fuel and in maintenance as well. Next slide, please. So, this is just, it's important for us to get to market quickly. And because we want to be sort of the first in the hybrid aircraft world, so that we position ourselves to get some income coming in and be able to fund us, for the next round of R&D stuff and then the next round of production stuff. And then finally, to get to where you can really, really optimize. And I'll go back to my batteries aren't good enough yet. And current aircraft configurations with just purely switching to batteries aren't going to be optimized either. So, ultimately, we'll want to take advantage of the benefits that electric power provides to the configuration, like maybe multiple propulsors on the wings or a ducted fan, as you see in the picture on the bottom right. So, until the batteries are good enough and until you design a really optimized airplane to accommodate that system, we won't be doing the best that we can, and that's where we need to aim. Next chart, please. So the usual lineup of who's here. Kevin Nordkroner on the left there is our co-founder and CEO, and he's just this remarkably pragmatic and steady, great leader. I'm just so happy to get to work with him. It's really refreshing after some of the other stuff I've done in my life. He's a great guy to work for. Next to him is Ed Lovelace. He's our CTO. He came on board right around the end of last year after a very distinguished career, initially with XL Fleet, which was an early converter of commercial vehicles to hybrid electric power. After he did that, he ended up at Aurora Flight Sciences, where he was the CTO, director of electric aircraft, basically. So he had good experience in the aviation world as well. Some knucklehead in the middle. Then Susan Yang, who's our special senior VP of global partnerships, and she's had a very long, distinguished career at Boeing Company and also at Comac in China. And then finally, Jeff Spitzer, who's our director of engineering at a 20-plus year career at General Atomics, where he helped develop the very first Predator and also the very latest one, the Avenger Predator C. So that's that. And I guess I was saying to the folks earlier, our current company size is about 30 people with probably about 25 consultants of various flavors around the country, around the world, actually. And we're probably on the path to grow to, 50 maybe early next year, somewhere in that ballpark. So, and I'll use that as a jumping off point to say that we do some prototyping work here at Hawthorne Airport. That's our centroid of engineering and whatnot. And so we can do, you know, lots and lots of ground testing here. For flight testing, we operate out of the Camarillo Airport up near Ventura, and that's because flying an experimental airplane out of Hawthorne is not smiled upon by the FAA because of the population densities, you could imagine. And then let's go on to the next chart. I'll come back to that. So we've raised something like $30 million to date, worked with several of the accelerators, and have had funding from NASA, pretty significant funding, ARPA-E, which is the DOE's research project arm, and a little bit of Air Force money along the way. Next. We did an interesting campaign last year out to Maui, and we flew our Cessna 337 back and forth between the main airport at Kahului and Hana many times over, you know, a few weeks sort of time frame. And if you've ever made the drive from Kahului to Hana, you know that it's a brutal drive, and it's such an easy, beautiful, scenic flight. It's not even funny, but we were partnered with Mokulele Airlines and Elemental Accelerator to do that campaign. And it really worked out so, so well. The airplane was super reliable, and I got to fly it myself over there a couple times. So it was a great thing. And I've got a little video at the end to show you how pretty it was there. Next slide. We had, in order to get it to Hawaii, we had to put it in a box and put it on a boat. And that was at Oakland, California. So we ferried the airplane from Camarillo to Hayward, not Oakland. And that sort of set a notional record of, you know, longest hybrid flight. But we were real pleased with how that all came together. Next chart. I pulled this chart from some other presentation, and so we didn't make history last month. We did it last year in November, but flew 22 flights over 17 days, almost 24 hours of flying with, and any of you who've ever dealt with an experimental airplane, these numbers of 100% dispatch reliability are sort of unheard of, at least were to me. So it just showed that the technology is relatively mature for what we're trying to do with it, and our guys did good work putting it together. Next chart. A bunch of work with NASA over the last year or so, developing an approach to electrify the Twin Otter. They were interested in a kind of 1 megawatt class electric power in a 19-seat airplane. So we did a bunch of work on that. And that may be a product for us in the future. We'll see. Next slide. Talk about ARPA-E. The nice thing is, I'll say that the technologies that we're developing and the skills that we're building will be applicable to an evolving energy storage solution, which means, you know, we certainly will have an upgrade path for battery packs for our products as the technology improves. And the basic propulsion side of it is compatible with hydrogen fuel cells or any other kind of energy storage system. So we keep our eye on all that stuff, and we think we're on the right path for today. But as things evolve, we'll see what happens, and we'll accommodate those in our products. Next. Yeah, I've seen that before. Let's go on to the next one. I'm getting a little sensitive to time here. So let me talk about this one for a minute. Our current focus in Ampere is to do an electrified Cessna Caravan. Caravan's a 9-seat. You know, you've seen them all over the world. FedEx flies them a lot. We are going to do a hybrid propulsion system for the Caravan, and we're going to take it through supplemental type certification with the FAA and introduce that product to the market over the next few years, hopefully just a few. We are working with a company up in Seattle called Aerotech, who are an STC shop. They know how to do that stuff. They've also flown previously an all-battery powered Caravan, you may have seen in the news. So that will lead a lot of our work to be done up in the Seattle and Moses Lake, Washington areas, and it'll help mitigate our need for rapid growth here at Hawthorne. But, it's going to be, I think, a decent product. It's not going to be, you know, the efficiency that you'd want in an all-electric airplane. But, again, we got to start somewhere, and we think we have a good approach for the Caravan. And I'll say, too, that I'll leave it to the last chart. Let's keep going. Twin Otter, same kind of basic story. And again, very similar hybrid technology to what we're proposing for the Caravan. Next slide. And then the Tailwind, which is our notional, you know, future vehicle with a big tilting ducted fan in the back and all kinds of magic stuff on the inside. So we'd love a chance to build an airplane like that. Probably wouldn't look just like that or be just like that. But again, on the path to an optimized new build aircraft in our future. And that's, you know, realistically, is that 10 years out? Probably. Next slide. So, you know, this is sort of the pillars for us. It's speed to market. You know, we work closely with the FAA because there are new things to certify that they haven't necessarily done before. We've got some good sole source contracts in the past. We have a decent team of folks, and we're trying to remain lean and agile. And we spend a lot of time working with potential customers to make sure we understand what their needs and wants are. So we work that pretty hard. Next slide. So all that's well and good. But in, I think, February of this year, we were acquired by Surf Air, who's a, you know, local kind of boutique airline that runs up and down the coast a lot using Pilatus PC-12s. We are still in the midst of closing that deal, but what that will do is bring a very interesting alliance to Ampere, where we have, you know, sort of a captive first customer. And Surf Air has recently negotiated an agreement with Textron Aviation or Cessna to buy up to 150 new Caravans with the intent that those would be electrified with Ampere technology. By the way, that agreement with Textron is exclusive for electrification of the Caravan. So that's a really big deal for us. It's a really big deal for Textron and a really big deal for Surf Air. So, you know, this whole thing will bring us the resources and the need to get this Caravan STC executed as quickly as we can and get it into service and see, have our stuff out flying around the world. So it's a super exciting time for us here at Ampere, and I think that's my last slide. But so I don't know how the questions are coming along, but I do have a little 4-minute video of the 337 flying in Hawaii. Oh, and by the way, we made it on the cover of Aviation Week a couple of weeks ago. And I can hold my thing up if you can see it. But that was based on taking that Cessna 337. that we flew in Hawaii over to the UK, and we flew it for a few weeks in both northern Scotland and southern England. So another, and by the way, the weather there is horrible. So we didn't get to fly nearly as much as we wanted, but the airplane performed very well. And it's now on its way back to California to fly again at Camarillo in the fall sometime. So that's my last slide. And if you want to, Ivan, if you want to push the button on the video or however that works out, I'd appreciate it. So when you go to Hawaii, you got to take pretty pictures of it because the area is just so darn scenic. And this is taking off out of Kahului Airport and magnificent Cessna landing gear retracting itself there. But did a lot of time flying around the island, and it was just super cool. I mean, you can't beat the views. And we were flying on electricity and a little bit of gasoline. We have the airplane configured, in this airplane, the electric motors in the front. We have a big battery pack, which lives in the cargo pod below the 337s. We're available with a cargo pod, so we just built our own version of it. And then the whole cabin was open, and we did fly with a few people on board while we were there. And it was just, it was pretty neat. I didn't have 4 minutes worth of stuff to say over the top of this video, so forgive me, but I talk too much anyway. This might be the money shot right here. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, the fuel's in the wings. Yeah, just can't beat Maui. Anyway, Ivan, why don't we go ahead and stop the video there, and I'll be happy to take questions or however you want to play that.
You know, we don't get to see the landing.
Well, okay. I mean, if you want to stick it out, I
want to see the landing. We got plenty of time, Doug.
And that's Hana. It's a pretty short little field, but they it's had some, I think, federally authorized sort of emergency airline service there for years. So if you need to get out of there, that's the way to do it. So beautiful there. Wow. There you go. Okay, the torture's ending.
All right, that's tremendous. The torture, Doug, is that we're not all in Hawaii.
Right?
So,
yeah, absolutely.
We do have a handful of questions that have come through.
Sure.
So that was wonderful. So my dog thinks he's going out. There may be some barking in the background here. And we appreciate you sharing that. It's really impressive, and it's just sitting back. The world is certainly changing in the right direction. So let's see. We've got a couple questions coming through. One of them, Doug, do you see you, Surf Air, Amp Air, getting into battery research? And go ahead.
Well, no, not directly. So, I mean, the reality of the situation is that the automotive market is going to drive cell technology, and we will certainly keep abreast of that and try to leverage that wherever we can. But, you couldn't possibly invest as much in that as any of the automakers do on a daily basis. So we'll optimize our packaging of a battery module and battery pack, but we won't do basic cell research.
Oh, you can turn your video on if you want.
I don't know. Okay.
All right. So I'm going to combine a couple questions here. I had one of the questions was fuel. Where is the fuel? And also, I assume with with the fuel, you're going to need less fuel, right, if it's hybrid with batteries. Can you give us a little oversight on how that gets handled?
So, the fuel's carried in the wings, just in the standard location that the 337 had, and it'll be the same with the Caravan. We're looking at something like 25% fuel savings as a target. So that won't, there would be no reason to change the fuel storage or capacities and whatnot. And the way we fly the airplanes, in the near term is we will likely use the combustion engine for cruise power and the battery power for takeoff and climb. And that seems to work out a pretty good balance. And again, I think we saw 25% fuel savings on the typical mission with the 337.
Okay. So one of the questions is related, and you've answered it partially. Is there sufficient power in the electric motor to shut off the combustion engine and feather the rear prop?
We did that, but it's not really sized. The battery pack is not sized to do that.
Okay. So with the batteries and 25% savings in fuel, what about the weight distribution? Does the plane end up weighing a little more with the batteries or not so much?
It does, for sure. The battery pack on the 337 weighs something like 600 pounds, let's say, which is three standard people. So what you do is you trade fuel loading for passenger carrying capability. So these airplanes will be pretty short range by definition in the early years. It's always a trade of payload, which either people or cargo, and the amount of fuel to get the range that you want, and those all have to be traded because, the batteries, they weigh a lot.
Okay, and with an aircraft like this that's got a better gliding capability than other particular aircraft, in case you lose one of the propulsion units, I assume that's one of the reasons you've chosen aircraft like this.
Well, you'd love to, right? But you don't have a ton of choices. And these airplanes of these categories are not particularly good gliders. I mean, compared to an optimized high performance airplane. And that's why I say that, ultimately we do need to design an airplane that's optimized for that propulsion system. And that's what we want to do, but it'll take time.
Interesting. Regarding the savings, so one of the things about a hybrid, and we talked about maintenance savings, you're going to end up with less moving parts, less stress on the system. I assume you end up with less parts, too, that you've got to carry in some respects.
Yeah, certainly in the case of the 337, that's very true. It's pretty startling when you look under the cowling of that electric propulsion system and all you see is this big sort of pancake motor that's, maybe weighs 80 pounds or something and an inverter. and it replaces its entire 230 horsepower piston engine that fills up the entire cowling. It's pretty dramatic.
And how about from a maintenance standpoint, too? Don't electric motors, they're going to take less maintenance, less routine maintenance?
Yeah, they certainly would, undoubtedly.
Interesting. Let's see, another question. Let's see. Are Cessna Caravans pressurized airframes?
No, they're not.
Okay. Can you reduce the purpose-built Cessna airframes by using non-pressurized airframes for low-altitude charters? Well, they're not pressurized, but... So, let's see. What do you think about hydrogen technology versus other competing SAF/battery technologies?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we do keep tabs on that. We know that we actually have neighbors here on the field that is universal hydrogen, and they're trying to do a no-kidding hydrogen-powered airplane. Our view of that is that today, you know, the storage and transportation and, you know, just integration into the airframe are not clear wins. And the fuel cell technology is still fairly heavy. And so we're keeping our eye on it. It could very well evolve into something wonderful. And then I think there's another discussion about, you know, how the hydrogen is actually created and how green that process is, because most hydrogen comes from hydrocarbon-based manufacturing, I guess, for lack of a better word. So those are just our thoughts.
One of the questions is potential applications to vertical lift aircraft. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's an even bigger challenge. So because the vertical lift aircraft tend to cruise at a fairly high percentage of their takeoff power, it's not as clear a win. You don't, and I know new rotorcraft technologies are easing that problem, but at the moment, it's not clear that that's a win. And the weight is a problem for sure.
Interesting. All right, and I was just looking. I mean, it just seems like there's so many markets for this. There's the, you know, the pylon hopping flights. There's, you talked about, you know, FedEx has these types of planes,
mm-hmm.
And I've read some stuff recently, you know, the air taxi business, there's going from, I don't know, LaGuardia to JFK, maybe that's just too crowded. Do you think you're going to start with your focus in the United States from this, or just all over initially?
That's a fair question. You know, clearly we have a launch customer that's Surf Air, so we'll need to focus on that. And we've been talking to operators of caravans all over the world, and, you know, we will address them as quickly as we can because, I mean, at the end of the day, anybody who's operating a short-range mission with a caravan, I think we'll find this to be, an interesting solution. So.
Okay. And there's a question here. Any thoughts on electrifying LTA aircraft?
Lighter than air?
I assume so. I didn't. Dan, if you get explanation on that question, please give me some more info in the chat.
And if that's the question, the answer is no. We really haven't looked at any of those kinds of vehicles.
Yes, lighter than air. And one of the questions you somewhat answered is Surf Air shared their ambitions for routes they wish to service.
Yes. I mean, we talk to Surf Air all the time. We're practically integrated with them already. So,
right.
Yeah.
Do you have any specific competitors? You know, maybe it's competing technologies. I mean, there's the hydrogen, which you've already discussed, but I don't know what else there might be.
Yeah, you know, when we look around the industry, we don't really see anybody that's trying to do what we're trying to do in as much as in the path of a hybrid solution. There are a few folks that are working all electric vehicles, like Eviation and Magni X, who are businesses aligned together. They're the Share Common chairman and whatnot. And we understand they're trying to do a caravan STC in Australia for an all electric caravan, which again, you know, the realities of battery mass,
right,
will make that a really short range vehicle. And then their Eviation Alice is, I think it's like a 9-seat, more optimized design. And, you know, that could be a really good product. We'll see, but it's all electric as well.
Right. Interesting. Well, you know, there's some of the car manufacturers are going all electric and some are not so fast. They're staying with hybrids. It's interesting perspective. And it sounds to me one of the things that is the main driver is battery technology.
Certainly is.
Well, maybe we'll make some leaps there. Any thoughts about solar on the wings or something like that?
Yeah, the problem is you just can't get very much energy density out of solar panels. And, you know, there it's an acreage problem, if you want to think about it that way. Just can't get enough energy out of the areas that you've got on the wings to make a difference. And, you know, really high-performance solar cells are super expensive, and the lower cost ones are not good enough, I don't think.
Interesting. Okay. Well, Doug, I don't see any more questions here. Is there anything else you want to add or provide us?
Gosh, I couldn't imagine what it would be, but I do really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you all today.
Well, on behalf of the Aerospace and Defense Forum, Doug, thank you for your time, putting in the effort, and what you're doing. It's fascinating, and it's remarkable what you guys have already accomplished. And again, thank you so much. And I'm going to move on to the next slide here and wrap this up. I'm recording this webinar. It's going to be posted on the A&D Forum, and the presentations will be available to all A&D Forum members. And the contact information will be available for those that gave permission. So we've got some chapter meetings, webinars upcoming. Let's see. September 16th, that's tonight. In-person meeting in Phoenix, impact of the COVID pandemic as evidenced by aircraft storage and conversions. Manager of the Phoenix Goodyear Airport, Bradley A. Hagen. City of Phoenix Aviation Department and Michael Stafford, VP, General Manager, AirSale. That's the Arizona chapter. September 23, a business health assessment, whether exiting or not, Larry O'Toole, founder of Yosemite Associates. He's out of Los Angeles. So it's based off, set up by the Los Angeles and South Bay chapters. Larry's done this a handful of times. It's very worthwhile. And on September 30th, future of flight from electric aviation to supersonic, suborbital, and beyond. Anita Gupta, CEO, founder, Hydroplane Limited, and professor of aeronautical engineering. That's the Ventura chapter. That's a new chapter. And I believe we're on to the next slide. There's recordings of over 250 chapter and webinar presentations available for download by the forum members. An individual membership is $350 a year. And you get free attendance to all forum meetings and webinars, and it's free for those not located near one of the 9 operating chapters. You can join the mailing lists of chapters for free. Also provide you the monthly Aerospace and Defense Forum newsletter, and opportunities to sponsor chapters and to sponsor webinars are available. Note that the A&D Forum meeting notices are only sent to those on the forum list. Okay, and slide 28, the next slide, is a thank you. If you have a suggestion of a topic for our presenters or for a future A&D Forum webinar, please let us know. We're constantly looking for folks that can do what Doug has done today and provide us information and learning that we might not have otherwise had. And we look forward to at some point meeting together and visiting organizations. And I can remind you the contact information for all attendees will be emailed to those who grant the permission. And again, thank you very much. And further information, you can go online and look at aerospacedefenseforum.org. And that wraps it up for today. Have a great day and be safe.